take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
That's right, it's time for loose reads. Thanks to our friends at Time Out Bookstore. Morena, Suri, how are you?
Morena, Morena. I'm really Suri. Well. Nice to see you both.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see you too.
So good to have you up in the studio. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Kind of chill. Had some, bittersweet goodbyes with friends moving overseas and doing exciting things. But, pretty nice otherwise.
Very good. We've got an exciting book to talk about, Among Friends by Hal Ebert.
Yeah.
Ebert? And Ebo?
I think Ebert is right. I had to do the same thing. I was, Googling, Ebert. I think it is Hal Ebert, and it's, a very New York novel. And I won't lie, at the beginning, it's got, he's been blurbed by amazing authors like John Banville, John Irving, Richard Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who's read The Sports Writer, I actually think this has so many echoes of Richard Ford's writing. It's very classic great American novel, looking at sort of class and relationships. And when I first started it, I think I was sort of I don't know if I want to keep going with this. It's such a specific group of people that are being talked about here. Mm. So Amos and Emerson are college friends, and Amos comes from the sort of more impoverished background, and I think kind of a psychologically torturous one. His dad dies when he's quite young. His mum is a single mother, and you kind of realize that there's maybe this slightly abusive hold that she had over him as a child, and it continues as an adult. And then Emerson has lived this sort of upper middle class life, mm-hmm. his whole life, and offers from when they're in college, this support for Amos in financial ways as well. So that's already, I think, the beginning of the seed of the idea that this is a friendship that's not necessarily on equal terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's kind of an interesting, and it's so they go away. The novel sort of starts when they go away to upstate New York. It's Emerson's birthday, and they're celebrating. Their wives are friends. Claire, Amos's wife, is a doctor, and they all went to college together. Their daughters are the same age, and they've sort of been longtime friends. So, it's whatever inequalities existed before are starting to even out in adulthood. But even from the beginning, when they first reach this sort of Emerson's house in upstate New York, this massive, expansive place with tennis courts and stuff, you can already see there's little pricks starting to appear on the surface of these otherwise very sort of clean and sanitized and somewhat perfect lives. There's things these little comments where, Amos will tell, will sort of laugh cruelly at jokes at the expense of Emerson's wife, Retzi. And I don't know, there's also these interesting tensions between Claire and her daughter Anna. Anna's 16, and Claire's obviously been beautiful in her life, but starts to feel sort of jealous or competitive with Anna for Amos, her father's attention. So there's all these really interesting things coming to the fore. But it's a novel where I think you have to, and maybe some of this is a little bit parallel lines, where it's you really have to stick with it, because there are so many sort of slow moving reveals. It's it's every time you learn a new thing about a character that you thought was sort of embalmed in this perfect life where they're sort of untouchable. It's you start to get those layers and those that sheen and that gloss starts to sort of peel away. Emerson, who's sort of this charismatic, lovable fixture in this group of friends, you start seeing the darker sides of him, what he really thinks of Amos. Ooh. And he starts feeling frustrated by the fact that Amos keeps bringing up his difficult childhood, and feels his friend is wielding this as a weapon in their relationship, a constant reminder that, you know, he's come from like a different background, or like that he constantly needs sympathy. So yeah, it's like, it's kind of fun in a way. It's like Herman Koch's Dinner a little bit, where it's like, yeah, these kind of slow building tensions, these like slowly revealed truths about the real relationship that these people share with each other. And so there's like quite a like shocking turning point in the book. Like its build up sort of starts with like there's a tennis game between Amos and Emerson, where Emerson sort of loses and twists his ankles and kind of like bears this like humiliation of being like a middle-aged man who's just like lost a tennis game in front of his kids. And then yeah, and then like Anna, Amos's daughter, sort of catches Emerson and his wife in this like sort of quite cruel moment with his wife, where he sort of like belittles her in this like horrible cutting way, and then that sort of triggers like an incident, and I can't say what it is because it is such a shocking point of the novel. There's like an act of violence that happens over the course of like this you know, summer gathering that shifts their relationships completely, maybe like unearths or finally creates the rupture that was that already sort of like existed in these friendships and these relationships in a small way. This incident kind of like explodes and blows everything up, and there's like questions around who's believed, who has the power to convince a group of friends what's true, what's not true. Yeah, it's so like compulsive reading, I think, particularly once you get to the middle of it and you're like, oh, okay, actually this is what's happening in each of these relationships, these are where all the fractures exist. I think when that moment of eruption starts, it's like you just can't peel your eyes away from what's happening and how he runs lives.
I love a bit of drama.
Yeah, me too.
Just sink your teeth in some good drama.
I also love those ones that are quite like time specific. You know, this is set over a weekend, right? With a bit of time jumping. And I love those ones. It's like, how much can happen in a weekend?
Me too.
And a lot, apparently.
And it's so funny because it does remind me of like, yeah, it's like, oh my God, there's like so many tiny details that they're remembering, or so many little things that people like, you know, get their backs up about in this that I don't think I would care about. But then it so reminds me of like, you know, when you're like with a group of friends for a weekend, yes, or, you know, even over the course of a night, and you're like thinking or like mulling over like certain things that they said, and the first time they said it, you're like, oh, that's like, you know, completely inane thing to say, and then you're like thinking about it more and more, and you're like, what did that really mean? Like, was that a compliment? Was that a dig? I don't know.
Well, I also think when you're in those close quarters and like also, you know, almost celebrating something, or, you know, even when you go on holiday with your family to a batch, I've always known it to be never drama free. Something always happens, and then next thing it's wah, wah, wah.
It's very relatable.
So it sounds like a really interesting read and worth hanging on for, right?
Totally worth hanging on for. Because I think, like, even I was like talking to Jen in like the first 100 pages, I was like, God, like, these are people complaining about like having like the wrong like $30,000 painting like hung on their walls. Who cares? They're constantly eating lobsters and like figs and brie. I was like, I don't care. And then, yeah, I feel like once it got to the point where I was like, oh, yeah, it's worth hanging on for sure.
Isn't it so satisfying when rich people's stories just turn to shit?
Yeah, love to see it.
Yeah, when they get teared back to, like, just like humans with, like, weird animalistic instincts like all of us.
Yeah.
But they think the money can kind of protect them from it.
I think that's such a good point that, yeah, like, outside of these kind of, like, studied niceties, we're all, like, quite primal underneath it all, really, eh?
Totally.
It's very White Lotus.
Very Sounds White Lotus, yeah.
Like an interesting read. It could be the one for after Parallel Lines. I was giving Suri a Parallel Lines update. I'm three quarters through. And I love
so
it.
So glad you're reading it.
I think in 2 weeks' time I'll have a full review ready for you.
I love it. Yes. I do think, yeah, actually this could be perfect to read after. I feel like those two books or like the perspectives live in the same universe. And there is like some sort of like psychological unpicking going on here.
Yes.
And like Amos is a psychologist, so there's like lots of Freud in here. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'd be so interested to hear your thoughts on both once you're done. Books.
I've just finished Burnham Wood by Ella Cashman. Finally.
Finally.
Well, crazy ending. Oh
it's
my gosh.
Wild, eh?
It gets really crazy.
Also, almost doesn't feel like an Eleanor Catton book or something, eh?
Yeah, well, I haven't read The Luminaries.
Very different.
Yeah. I've heard it's very different. Maybe I need to move to that next. But I have got a couple of music books. I've got David Byrne's book that I need to read.
Oh, yes. Cool. It's a goodie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I've heard good things, so. Mm. Oh, books. Don't we love them?
Books.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you so much. Time out.
Thank you, time out. If you're reading anything, text us 5395. We might have a read too.
That was Loose Reads.